Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming to see our talk. We'll be discussing using game technology and progressive web apps with Babylon.js. I'm Zach, this is Numa, and we're the co-founders of Jigspace. So we're going to give you a quick overview of what Jigspace is, the platform that we're creating. We're also going to tell you a bit about our technical journey going from Unity all the way through now to progressive web apps, and applying the principles of game development to non-gaming applications to create delightful applications for your users. And we're going to give you a few demos in there. So what is Jigspace? Jigspace is a platform for creating and sharing interactive 3D instructions for anything. We have a vision for the world where you can look at anything and ask, how does that work? And that information is available to you immediately on whatever device you have with you. Now, today, that's a phone, and tomorrow, that's going to be AR and VR. And we want that 3D information to be right there, and you can interact with it and do whatever you like. So I'll give you a demo of what that looks like. So this is the Jigspace library. Here we have hundreds of different jigs that have been created by community members using our workshop. And now I'm just going to click on one of my favorite jigs, which is how a lock works. So this, you can see here, you can interact with it. You can look around. You can click on things. You can see what they are. And then you can also step through the instructions, and it'll take you through what happens. So in this case, it's a lock, and it shows you how internally there's a plug is held by springs and pins, and how those shear lines line up, and it opens a lock. So Jig is a perfect platform for explaining these kind of things, things that are fundamentally three-dimensional and are difficult to explain in two dimensions. So to realize this vision where we have all this information, all of the world's knowledge in 3D right when you need it, there's a couple of things we need to do. We need jigs to be easy to create. So this 3D knowledge, when you have it, you need to be able to create it and share it quickly. It needs to be easy to transport. So that means having a file format that is small and fast and able to go everywhere over the web. And it also needs to be easy to view. Because if you can't see it on the device you have with you, you may as well not be able to see it. So it has to be across all devices ubiquitously. That's what we need for Jigspace to be a reality. And now Numa's going to take you through some of the technical journey we've gone on to create it.
Thank you. Okay, so Zach and I are from a games development background. We've been making video games and working with 3D technology for years. So when we started working in Jigspace, we decided to build it in Unity. Unity was great because it let us build and prototype quickly, and it let us deploy Jigspace to multiple platforms at once. So that was really good at the start, and it checked most of our boxes. But there was one thing that Unity wasn't that good at, and that was exporting for the web. So the WebGL builds that we were getting out of Unity were 50, 60 meg JavaScript files that our users had to download and parse before they were able to access our content. So we ended up having load times of about 50 seconds, which is way too long. Pretty much anything more than 5 seconds today, and people are just going to leave. So that didn't work at all for us. It didn't pass our second requirement, which was that jigs have to be available immediately when you need them. That's when we realized we were going to have to rewrite the entire thing for the web using WebGL and JavaScript, which was pretty scary at the time because I'd never seen a line of JavaScript in my life. So we started having a look at some graphics library. And so we found 3JS, which is really powerful, and there's lots of people doing great things with. And we also found a library called Babylon.js. Babylon.js was perfect for us because it's more of a game framework than just a 3D library. So it's got all the features that we normally use in other game engines. It's got classes for handling controllers and sounds and different types of cameras and loading 3D models, loading textures. It's got animations. It supports web VR as well. Enabling VR in a Babylon.js application is just one line of code. It's just a matter of declaring your camera as a VR camera, and everything else is handled for you. So that's really good. And Babylon.js does pretty much anything else that the other big game engines do. except it's got one massive advantage, is that it's got a tiny, tiny footprint. The entire Babylon library is just slightly over a meg. So that was a massive difference for us. And it also has a really good community. So there's a lot of developers online fixing bugs and adding new features all the time. It's actually evolving really, really fast. And they're always here to help as well. So all this made the transition for us from Unity to Babylon pretty easy. So in just a couple of weeks, we were able to pick it up and rewrite JigSpace. And in a few weeks, we had the app online running. And the results were pretty amazing. So it changed everything for us. We went from having to wait 50 seconds to see a jig down to 3 to 5 seconds, which is exactly where we wanted to be. And the download size went down as well. So from Unity's 30, 40 meg file, we went down to a meg and a half. So immediately, we were in a completely different realm where people could just access our content instantly. But there's more. Now that we had this really solid and fast web viewer, we were able to take advantage of Microsoft's hosted web apps. So a hosted web app lets you convert your entire website into a desktop application that people can download and install and pin to their taskbar and have on the desktop. And you don't have to write a single line of code to do this. So all you have to do is build a web app in Visual Studio and point it at your website, and that's it, you're done. So you have this app, and it's always in sync. There's no work needed. It's always up to date. It's always in sync with your website. And you get to take advantage of all the cool desktop environment features. So you get notifications, and you can use new devices like the Microsoft Dial, for instance. And one thing I really like with hosted web apps is that it lets you take a different approach. It's a web-first approach. So rather than starting with a desktop application, you build a heavy app, and then you're trying to constrain it into a web context. You start the other way around. You start by building something that's light and fast for the web, and then you deploy to other platforms. And that's really important if you want to build great applications that your users are going to love. But there's more to it than just the speed and the tech to build great experiences, and Zach's going to tell you a little bit more about that.
So we, given our background in game development, we wanted to apply more than just the technology to what we were doing, but also the principles, because we wanted to create something that was delightful, and the problem we have is that 3D is hard. Interacting with 3D on a 2D surface is really difficult as it is. But the tools that people generally use in 3D are high-end tools with lots of menus. You have to be educated in it to use that software, and that's difficult, and we couldn't have that for our vision. So we went in and applied a couple of principles to how we develop the software, and I'll take you through some of them. So the first one is the idea of light versus heavy. So that means that the information that you need is there when you need it and gets out of the way at all other times. So there's not endless menus to dig through. You don't have a wealth of options at your disposal at every moment, because that just overloads the user. So we wanted it to be a light experience, and we went through and made sure that's how the user felt when they used it. The next thing is making it juicy, which is the idea of using animation curves and light bouncy features and beautiful interactions at every moment to make sure the user feels a response from everything that is light and fun, and it kind of feeds into that light versus heavy as well. And the last one, and probably the most important, is short feedback loops. So in the process of creating any kind of 3D object or any kind of work in a 3D environment is typically a long feedback loop from the concept all the way through to creation and deployment. There's large tracks of time between that. We wanted to shorten that as much as possible. So when you had an idea, you could create that as quickly as possible. And it also means that every interaction gives you feedback. So when you move something, you see the menus follow along with whatever you're looking at. You have quick interactions. When you change the color of something, it's right there. So I'm going to go through now and give you a demo and show you how we applied all this to make the interactions with the workshop and the tool itself simple, useful, and fun. Right. We'll do it live, so it could break. I'm going to make a jig about inserting a USB. And it's going to be a comprehensive guide to inserting a USB. Okay, so as you can see, this is the Jig Workshop. This is what it looks like when you jump in. It's very simple and clean. There's not a lot of information there. All you need to do to start off with is load in a model. So I'm going to grab a USB model. That's come down from our model store. And you can have any model that you can find online, you can just bring into Jig. And you can either get it from your computer or download it from a server. So here we have our USB model. I'm going to set it up now so that we can interact with it. When you select something in Jig, you've got these options here. So like I said, you can see that it's very simple. There's only these top five of the main ones that you use. And everything else really gets out of the way. And when you move, you can see it moves nice and it bounces with it, creating like a fun and simple way to interact. So you can move objects, you can rotate them, change their size, give them a label. You can turn that on in any stage and it just moves around with it. And you can also set its color. So this is going to be the classic black cable. And you can set materials as well. So this is going to be a metal material. I can just change that there. And as you can see, it's nice and shiny. That's good. I'm going to set the color of this to beige because it's a PC. And what kind of USB is it? Let's make it USB 3.1. Cool. There it is. I'll make this metal too. Right, so there I've just gone through and really quickly set up how I want it to look. Now, if I move this around, I want this to move the whole assembly rather than just the plug bit. So what I can do is jump in here and attach these elements. You see, as I click and attach them, they pop with the parent object in that hierarchy. So you immediately know that, yes, I've selected the right thing and now they're part of an assembly. And if I just move this around, it all moves together at the same time. So let's go through and make this jig. The first step in this comprehensive guide is to attempt to plug it in like this. But as we all know, there are several other steps involved in inserting a USB. Right, let's try that again. Incorrect, there is one last step. And this should be the right way. Yes, perfect. Nailed it. Okay. Just going to put an instruction here up the top. Okay, and what you can do now is, so at any step you can put instructions in and you can step through now and have a look at what we did with our jig. Okay, so we try it that way. Doesn't work. And there, it's plugged in. So you can immediately jump through and just see on all these steps what you've done. We can put instructions in there. You can turn these labels on and off on anything you like. So you can call this the port, and there, that'll be on in that stage. And now, if we want to view this on the web, we can hit publish here and just set the publicity. So currently it's private, and we can set the visibility, we can set it to public. So it's going to ask me to take a thumbnail so that it looks nice. Let's go back to this first stage. It looks pretty good. Take a snapshot, and that saved it. Now immediately I can click view. And this jumps onto the site, and there you've got it live. That's running live on the server right now. So you can immediately get feedback on how it works. And we can just step through those stages and look at that jig. And that's it. That's the whole process from start to finish of creating a jig. It's that simple, and we need it to be that simple for people to be able to share their knowledge in a three-dimensional way. And the other great thing is that it's in the Progressive web app. So at all times, this is updated. This is the latest version, and we can just jump down here. I'll refresh it. And you can see our jig there in the library, immediately available. This is something that we couldn't have done without Babylon. That's the beauty of what having a web app and coming from that kind of web context has enabled us. And it helps us achieve our vision, which is to have this information everywhere and available really quickly. And that's the beauty of using Babylon and with Progressive web apps. So, in conclusion, game technology is solving a lot of 3D problems right now. So as you can see, as we see the platform shift to 3D, to AR and VR happening, we're going to be using lots and lots of game technology because we've been rendering stuff in 3D for a long time now and doing it very well. And Babylon brought the speed we needed with that 3D kind of context, which is fantastic for us and which is needed. And progressive web apps represent a real shift in how we develop applications because you start from that light context. And that's really useful for creating things that your users can enjoy and interact with in an easy way. And I'd encourage you to apply and have a look at the principles of game design and how you can apply that to your applications to make things kind of not so stale and boring, but an experience that your users will delight in, because that's what will keep them returning and keep them engaging with your product. So yeah, thanks for coming along. Check out our website at jig.space and have a look at Babylon. It's fantastic, very easy to pick up. And follow us on Twitter. Thank you.
Thank you.